Let's get our Bibles out. And we've been talking about rejoicing. How often should we rejoice? Come on, let's be real. Let's be real this morning. How many know sometimes it's hard to be rejoicing? I mean, we started the worship service with what Paul had to say. And I didn't know what Paul was going to say. He didn't tell me. And you know, you hear that kind of stuff. And how many know your joy just starts to go, woo, right? It starts to diminish. But the weirdest thing about joy is it's only the joy of the Lord that gets you strong at the same time. It's that weird thing. Right? It's that weird thing is that when this happens, your joy kind of goes out the window, but then so does your strength at the same time. And the only way to get your strength back is to renew your what? How do you do that? That's some tricky stuff. That really is some tricky stuff. But yet we are commanded to do it. We talked about what is the will for God for us. What is His will for us? His will for us is to rejoice. Rejoice when? Now we all know if you come first across the line at Pittsburgh Marathon, you'll be rejoicing. We know that. It's simple. But how are you going to rejoice when you get on the internet and you find out what he found? That's hard stuff. How many know it's hard stuff? It is hard stuff. But we got to clearly understand that we are not, you know, we are not normal. Well, that's true. As soon as I said that, turn to somebody and say, boy, he knows what he's talking about. I mean, I shouldn't even. When I said that, Eric, everybody went. And then they're going. But let's put it this way. We are not ordinary. We are to be extraordinary. Did you know that? Did you know we are not called to be ordinary? We are called to be what? Extraordinary. You see, we are to have the peace of God that does what? Surpasses all understanding. You see, we are called to rise above certain things in our lives. That's what we're called to do. Is that easy? No. No. But it's possible with the Holy Spirit inside of you. You see, we are called not to do ordinary things. We are called to do extraordinary things. Did you know that? That's what we're called to do. Not to be ordinary, to be extraordinary. Not to have the peace of the world, but to have peace of God. That does what, Robin? Surpasses all understanding. You know, if Sissy and I came in here because of the death of our son, and we were just down all the time and depressed all the time, people would say, well, I understand that. Of course you would be that way. Of course you would. That's whose understanding? That's the world's understanding. That's their understanding, right? But we're not called to be ordinary. We are called to be what? Extraordinary. And so when we come in and we still do our ministry, we still sing our praise and worship song, people say, wait a second, did you have a son killed by a drunk driver? Well, yes, but I have the same son that resides with the kingdom of heaven too. Well, did you have a kid that was killed by a drunk driver? Well, yes, I did, but I'm also going to see him again one of these days in all his glory. Well, did you have a kid who was killed by a drunk driver? Well, of course I did. I'm going to see him again for all eternity too. We are called to be extraordinary. We are not called to be rejoicing in some things. We are called to rejoice in what? All things. We are not called to rejoice when the Steelers win the Super Bowl. We are called to rejoice because I have eyes to see it. We are not called to be rejoicing when we win the first game of the Stanley Cup playoffs and lose the second one, so therefore I'm depressed. No, you should rejoice because you had a TV to watch it. And you don't think about those things. You don't think about those things. And so we are called to rejoice when? Always. I gave you two things for which you need to be rejoicing about last week. You remember? I said rejoice in your youth. Rejoice in your youth. And that's how we got into the Jimmy thing. Jimmy, tell them what you found. When we went down to King's Restaurant, what was on that whiteboard down there for all the world to see?
I was reminded of my age.
Jimmy, somebody wrote on that board, Jimmy Fong is 50 years old. I don't know who that could have been that would have done that. I don't know who would have done that. But I think it might happen again. But rejoice in your youthfulness. And you're going to say, well, you're not so useful. Now, I watched my good friend Sue. Sue has a little thing on her back there to keep her back posture or something. And she came and put that little pad back there. And I said, Sue, what's wrong with your back? I was thinking, you know, maybe she has some kind of pain or something. But she's, you know, she got her posture thing going on, right? And I want to remind you of your youthfulness. You know what? If you can get down and tie your shoe, seriously, if you can get down and tie your shoe and stand back up, how many know that is a good day? How many know that's a good day? I mean, that really is a good day. And I'll tell you what, if you got to do like I have to do sometimes, tie your shoe and then work your way over to the chair like this, how many know what I'm talking about? How many of you got a real sturdy chair because you got to do that sometimes? But you can work your way over and do that. Guess what? That is still a good day. And so you need to rejoice in your youthfulness. Somebody said, I don't know who, somebody just said to me this morning, I think it was Herm. Herm said to me, I ain't never grown up. And I think Sue said, he's right. How many of you are not growing up? I'm not growing up. Who's not growing up? I'm not growing up. No way. No way. I'm going to be a kid all of my life. I'm out there. You know what? I was with my granddaughter Riley yesterday. We, you know, softball game and stuff. And then we picked up little baby James and went to see the house that Desiree's buying. And the real estate person showing them all around the house. And the real estate person came back down. I'm wrestling with James on the floor. He's beating me up. He's Shredder. And I'm Michelangelo. And he's beating me up. And the real estate agent said, well, if we get these two kids off the floor, then we go see the rest of the house. And I said to baby James, I think she's talking to me. Yeah. I'd rather be wrestling on the floor than going down the basement checking the circuit breakers. I ain't never growing up. How many of you are not growing up? I'm going to wrestle with all my grandkids. I can't wait to fight them all. And so what has to happen is you have to decide in yourself, are you or are you not still a kid at heart? How many of you are still kids at heart? Praise the Lord. Be thankful for that. I said you need to be thankful for the fruit of your hands, for the labor. Now I know that you all know that song, I owe, so off to work I go. How many know that song? Yeah. Let's sing it, okay? I owe, so off to work I go. You just hate that song, don't you? I know. How many of you buy at least one ticket for the Powerball? Who buys at least one ticket for the Powerball? Just me? Come on, who buys a ticket for the Powerball? See more hands go up when you say. There you go.
Liars.
You buy at least one, right? At least. Yeah, I heard you. And so we all know we like to be independently wealthy. Right? Is that right?
Yep.
I'm already independently wealthy. I got a wife of 41 years. I got three kids. One lives in heaven. I got six grandkids. One on the way. I got two cars. I got gas in my cars. I got a house that's being paid for. I am wealthy. How many are independently wealthy? I mean, I really am. I got a church full of friends. I got good health. Oh, I wouldn't trade that for all the Powerball winnings in the whole wide world, would you? How many are already independently wealthy? See, it all depends. It all depends. You tired? I'm tired. I'm so tired, Timmy. You okay? Okay. I didn't want to keep you sleeping. I was concerned about you, Timmy. And so we are independently wealthy, right? Independently wealthy. And so when you stop to look at those things, you go, oh my gosh, I am so wealthy. Who can say this in this room? God, if you don't do one more thing, you've done plenty already. Right? If you don't bless me one more time, you blessed me enough already. Isn't that true? And so we have a lot to be rejoicing about. But we're not done. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. Let's find something else for which to be joyful. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17.
Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy.
Yes. Thank God for all of the riches that God has given us to enjoy. Now, I know I look out here amongst all of you, and one thing about a small church is I kind of know you, and I know kind of most of the time where you live, and I know for most of you what you do, and I'm reasonably sure that nobody in this room has the last name of Hines, Rockefeller, Kennedy, Mellon. I mean, in this room are people that have to work to get by. And that's okay. And in this room are people who had parents that had to work two jobs sometimes to get you by. That's just the truth. We have car payments to make. We have insurance we got to pay for those cars. We have rents and mortgages, and we have utilities. And how many got some of those things? We got those things. We got those things. And while it is true, we probably have some nice things as compared to the world, what they have, which is true. I mean, we are really, truly blessed, aren't we? How many's got a place to go to tonight and stay out of the rain and snow and whatever else is coming? Is that blessing? Right? We were driving down the road a little while ago in Sissy's truck, and three engine lights came on. How many hate that when three engine lights come on? Oh, I'm hearing a lot of groaning and moaning. How many hate it when an engine light comes on, you don't know what it means? Yes. How many know when that thing comes on, you go, oh, that's going to be at least $10, right? I mean, one came on, and then another one blinked, and that one came on, and another one blinked, and that one stayed on. Now there's three engine lights coming on, and I don't have a clue what they mean, and we're looking it up on the phone to see, look, what does that mean? CFS track locked, or what does that mean? And all she could do is something about the brake system. How many know cars don't have to go, but they sure better stop?
Yes.
And you think about that, and you go, oh, this is going to cost me some money. And I'm thinking, well, wait a second. We're driving on down the road in this big old truck. We got gas in it. How fortunate are we got one? Really? And we could go park that one and take the other one. And if that one broke, I'd just take my motorcycle. I mean, how many are blessed? How many got stuff? How many got stuff? George Carlin probably said it best of all. He said, we got stuff. How many's got stuff? We got stuff. Fact is, we got so much stuff in the United States of America, we have $400 worth of stuff in our garage and the car sits outside. How many's got so much stuff like that? How many's got so much stuff you don't know how much stuff you got? Who's got stuff still in boxes you ain't opened yet? See? So we are really blessed. But we got to understand it's God who gives it to us. And we got to understand that every blessing comes from who? God the Father above. Every blessing comes from Him. And you know, sometimes why you can't receive any more is because you got your hands full of all the junk. You're holding all the junk. How many of you know how to lay your burdens down? How many knows how to pick them up too? Right? You move on like, go get my stuff. I got to go get my stuff. All those heartaches and all that anger and all that unforgiveness, I got to make sure I bring that with me. Why? Why do you want to bring that with you? How many know you get rid of that? You got your hands free to reach down and get some more blessings, right? You don't need all that stuff. Let it go. Let it go and receive the blessings. Turn in your Bibles, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6, where you just was, we're going to read verses 18 and 19 now. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 18 and 19.
Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
And for all the blessings that we have, are we to hoard them?
No.
Mm-mm. Keep them for yourself. Give them away. You know, I want you to remember something. God does not bless to you. He does not bless to you. He blesses what? Through you. God does not bless to you. He blesses through you. And let's just check that out just to make sure that we're on the same page and make sure that we all agree. How many of you receive more joy out of giving to somebody than receiving from somebody? Who gets more joy out of giving? Well, see, why is that? Why is that? You would think it should be opposite, right? You should think it should be opposite. Like when the publishing house clearinghouse lady comes to your house and she got the big check with the balloons and the camera. And it's got, like, for example, Eric Lang on it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, Yoshiko's going, oh, yeah. But I know the way that Eric is wired. He'd say, oh, I'm giving this to Pastor Tom, right? What I'm talking about. I'm with you, Eric. Receive more joy out of giving than in receiving, right? Yoshiko will get over it, Eric. She got you, brother. You're a rich woman. And you mean that, right? You do mean that. I know you mean that. And so we all receive more joy out of what? Giving. Is that a true statement? Why? You see, God wired us that way. He wired us that way that we receive the greater joy out of giving. So those of us who have plenty, what should we do? Give it. Give it. Now, I know what you're thinking. And the reason why I know what you're thinking is because I kind of think the same thing sometimes. You know, it's Christmas time. You're going shopping. And you got some shekels in your pocket. You know what I mean? And you see that guy standing on the corner. Work for food. How many's ever seen the guy work for food? Well, you've been to North Hills too, I guess, huh? Work for food. And you pass that guy. I don't know what you're thinking. I bet he's making $5,000 a week standing here at that sign. I know that's what you're thinking. Well, if I give him some money, he'll probably run on down the street and buy some drugs with it. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. But see, do you understand? Do you clearly understand that to do the will of the Lord, you're going to have to take some chances? I mean, to do the will of the Lord, you're going to have to take some risks. To do the will of the Lord, you may not know anything about what you're thinking. Could it not just be possible, hey, give the guy some dollars, and what he does was up to him and God, not up to you? Isn't that really, truly the way it's supposed to work? Well, if I give him $20, he'll probably go over there and buy a case of beer. Well, maybe he will. Is it up to you? You're not to discern that. Now, we need to be good stewards of what God gave us. This is true. This is true. But hey, to much that has been given,
much is required.
Let's repeat that again. To much that has been given, much is required. By the world's standards, how many of you are pretty rich? By the world's standards. Right? Let's just be real. And what's expected of us? Much. Much is requested of us. And so we have some things for which to be joyful for and rejoicing always. For our youthfulness, for the fruit of our labor, for the things that God has given to us, for the many blessings that we have. How many of you have found some reasons to be joyful for in those things? There's reasons to be joyful. There are. There are reasons to be joyful. Everybody take two fingers like this. Not a Cub Scout. And place it right along your jawline and push gently. Does anybody feel bump, bump? Anybody feeling bump, 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 bump? Okay, good. Now, Sue, a very good friend of mine, she's a medical kind of person. That's good if it's going bump, bump, right? Now, check Sue's. If it's not going bump, bump, we got a problem, right? Now, Tammy knows something about the bump, bumps. Bump, bump is good, right?
Yeah, they tend to set off alarms because...
Yeah. When it ain't going bump, bump, lots of activity happen, right? How many's blessing God because that thing's going bump, bump? I mean, can you grasp a hold of that? Let me tell you one more thing that you need to be joyful for. We have 6 grandkids, and I love my grandbabies. And oh, I got to tell you something. We had at our house on a Thursday night, Desiree, our youngest daughter, she's having a child. You know that, right? She's having, you didn't know that before? Oh, crap. What do you do now? And we had on Thursday, they had a cake. This is really cool. I never saw it before. And in the cake was icing, but nobody knew what the color was. And Shauna went to the OB-GYN with Desiree, and Desiree doesn't know what she's having. So the nurse put a note in an envelope and sealed it and handed it to Shauna. And Shauna baked the cake and put icing in the cake. Pink or blue. And so we had dinner, and it came time for Desiree to cut the cake. We're all there. Sissy and I and the kids and all the grandkids. And Desiree's cutting the cake. And opened it up. And she screamed. Guess what color it is? Pink. She's having a little baby girl. I'm going to spoil her rotten. Her name is Ivy Juliana Curran. Isn't that a nice name? Ivy Juliana Curran. And I tell you that because sometimes it's my job to watch the kids when they're sleeping. And one of my jobs was watching, it was Jacob. Because Jacob has an asthma problem, and they were over the house when he was a young little kid, and they were outside in the yard or something, and Sissy said, stay here and watch Jacob as he's sleeping. You want me to what? Me? Quad A personality, can't sit still person? Me? Watch Jacob. And so she puts Jacob in the porta crib, and because Jacob has a breathing problem. She said, if he stops breathing, you make sure you wake him up. Okay. And so he's in the porta crib, and I got my little chair like this, and I'm actually like this. And I hear, you better be watching that kid! I am. I'm in it, Tom. Watch that kid. I am. Are you watching that kid? I'm watching him. And he went, are you watching him? I'm watching him. An hour and a half I'm watching this kid sleep. I'm dying. I mean, I'm really dying. You better not be... I'm not. Now see, Jacob is sound asleep. He does not know his grandfather is watching him. You know, he doesn't care either. What's he doing? Sleeping. He's sleeping. He doesn't care if I'm sitting there watching him sleep. He don't have a clue. He don't have a clue. But if he stopped breathing, I'd pick that kid up. I would go get him. But he doesn't know that. And so he wakes up. Sissy comes in to check on him. I'm sitting there watching that kid for an hour and a half. What's the first thing he says when he wakes up? Nah, nah. Nah, nah. What about me? Am I chopped liver? I'm watching it. Nah, nah. Who watched over you last night while you slept?
Eric.
Besides him. I mean, see, I can go further than that, but I'm not gonna. I mean, who watched over you last night while you slept? Who watched over you when your heart was beating and it decided to not beat and God said, no, you keep beating, it ain't time yet. Who watched over you? Who watched over you last night when your lungs was breathing and then they forgot to breathe and God said, breathe, it ain't over yet. Who watched over you while you slept? When the first thing you did when you woke up this morning and you thought whatever it is that you thought, did you say, thank you, Jesus, for watching over me while I slept? Probably not. Probably not. You probably thought something like this, oh my gosh, I gotta go to church. I can't believe it. He's gonna know if I'm not there. I'm gonna get a phone call. I know what you were thinking. Did you thank God that he watched over you last night? Did you thank God that your heart kept beating? Did you thank God that your lungs kept breathing? Did you thank God that nobody broke into your house and harmed you? Did you thank God for those things? Probably not. Because you don't think about those things, do you? One of the customs in the Indian tribe of the Apaches was that in order for a child to be the brave, the big brave, there was a custom. And the custom back in those Indian nations, and it still goes on today, is that the young boy, in order to be a brave, is he has to spend a night, all night, blindfolded in the middle of the forest. Alone. In the dark. And when it comes to a point in time for the young boy to become a brave, his father takes him out to the middle of the woods. And he knows it's coming. And the stories have been told about all the wild animals and all the stuff in the middle of the woods that can get you a nut. He knows it, but he dare not take a sound. He dare not make a whimper because he wants to be a what? He wants to be a brave. And so they take him out in the middle of the woods, and they sit him on a stump, and they blindfold him, and they say, sit here and don't move for the rest of this night. Do not move. And so this young boy sits down on this stump, and they blindfold this boy, and they go off, and this kid's in the middle of the woods, and he is petrified. He's hearing all the noises, and he's hearing all the animals, and he surely thinks he's not going to survive it. There's no way he can survive this, but he wants to be a brave. He wants to be like his daddy, and he's not going to move. And he sits there all night long until he feels the sunshine upon his face. At which time he takes off the blindfold and there sits his father. Never left his side. See, life's like that. Do you ever thank God that he said he'll never leave you nor will he forsake you? He'll be with you to the ends of the age. Did you ever thank him for that? Did you ever thank him and say, no matter my circumstances, I know that you are right there with me and you are never going to leave my side. When's the last time you thanked him for that? When did you last time you rejoiced in knowing that you got a daddy in heaven that he said, I ain't leaving you, I'm going to be right here. So when you say, Pastor Tom, I don't know, there's some things in life that makes me hard to rejoice. That's true. I'm not diminishing that. That's true. But know this, in those times it's so hard for you that you're saying, I can't rejoice in those times. Rejoice that he's right beside you and he ain't going nowhere. When all of your friends will bail on you because they don't have time. When you call on all your relatives and they're busy, he's staying put. And I don't know about you, but that's something to rejoice for. No matter your circumstances, he's not going nowhere. How many are thankful for that? Yesterday we were at Riley's softball game because I'm coaching her, and Jonah, he's our 4-year-old, was on a swing set, and Sissy was keeping an eye on him, and he was swinging as kids do, and let go of the swing, and you're gonna just see the picture, right? And boom, there he goes, and the wail and all that, and, you know, the wail wasn't over until Sissy was already over there picking that kid up. You know, when you fall off your swings, somebody's picking you up too. Let's be in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much that we know that we have so much to be rejoicing for always. And even in the hardest of times, you are still with us. And we give you praise. We give you honor. And Lord, we will rejoice until you call us home. Well, there will be rejoicing abundantly. And all of God's people said, amen.